And now let us pray. Creator God, your word is a gift. So we give thanks. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you open our hearts and eyes to hear what we need to hear, to know what we ought to do, and to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, y'all, the lectionary skips over the story of Jesus tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And we'll hear that later in Lent. But for now, we catch up with Jesus as he returns to Galilee, where he customarily attends synagogue services to worship and share his message. Now, clearly, Jesus is a great teacher. Here, he begins with one part of the scroll from Isaiah 61 and then rewinds actually to another passage from chapter 58 to emphasize his mission to the poor. In the year of the Lord's favor, the Jubilee year, debts were forgiven and slaves were set free. Jesus applies these verses to himself. He will perform the works of the expected Messiah. And then he sits down to interpret the readings. So let us listen for God's word as Bram reads our lesson for today.
The reading is from Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, quote, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," unquote. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen, and thank you, Bram. And now I invite Joel, who I believe has a message for the young and young at heart disciples. You there, Joel? He was there a second ago. Okay. I don't really know what to do. I'm gonna. Oh, okay. Are you there? Get that thing there, darling.
Yes, I did not work, so I just left it. but we'll make it work now. Sorry. Please go away. I don't want to. Okay. One second while we do this all over again.
Do I see Charlotte there?
Hi.
I see Otto too, but I haven't seen you for a while, Charlotte. Great to see you.
All righty, here we go.
Okay.
So, I got it. So hello, children of God. Today's sermon is actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. I'll go over the Bible verse right now. So the Bible verse is, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if it should be, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I not say to the hand, 'I have no need for you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the great honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongue? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way." Now that's a long, long passage. So, now think of a puzzle. Each of these pieces are important to finish the puzzle. One might be a corner edge, one might be the inner portion, or maybe it is a colorful piece that finishes the product. Well, the truth is, we need all of the pieces in order for them to work together to create the whole picture. If I was missing a few pieces, I wouldn't have the complete puzzle. They would all fit together and then work together to show the final image, which is essential for that puzzle. This sort of reminds us of our bodies. We have so many parts that make up our bodies. We have hands, feet, we have legs, we have arms, we have the heart, and we have the brain. And of course, other various internal organs that we shall go into. All of these things are important. You might not think something like the pinky is that significant, but if something happened to yours, you would notice. We need all of our body parts, and they all work together in our body to function properly and move and do what we need to do. You know, that reminds me of something that Paul talked about in the New Testament. He described that the church is a body. The church is the body of Christ, and it exists to do his work on earth. All of us have jobs to do that help the community. Some people might teach or preach, and others might sing or play music or read the scripture, maybe serve snacks or even vacuum. All of these things are significant. It takes people with all kinds of gifts to work together as a team to carry out God's plan. Everyone has a part to play. No one is less important because of what they do or what they can't do. In fact, you have a job right now, and the things you do for the church now may be different from what you might do someday as an adult. God has important plans to be used for you, and you are a part of his body. Maybe your job now is listening to this lesson and being a good friend to others, but that's still important. You are a piece of this puzzle. Role is essential for the big picture. All you have to do right now is to be open to whatever God might have for you. Recognize that we work together and fit together as a church, as a puzzle, and we make it all come together. So let us pray and thank God for the parts we play in his work. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for making us unique and special. Please help us to recognize and use our gifts. Help us to work together as your body and help one another to do your will. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.